Blog Talk Radio.
Here comes the
throw through. Going to Blake.
Blake.
Hey. Hello? Hello?
Yo, can you hear me?
Oh, I just got.
Oh, what the fuck? You can hear me,
yeah? Yeah.
Why is it doing this shit? It's so annoying. All right.
I don't know.
How are you doing?
I'm pretty good, actually. The game was
good.
Was actually pretty entertaining for once. And, yeah.
Did you get to watch? Did you get to watch the end of it?
Yeah, I saw all of it.
Nice.
I missed like the very last 20 seconds. I was just like, they lost, but
yeah.
I think Butler just made free throws and then they missed a shot. So
yeah. Okay, cool. All right. So what do you want to talk about? So we'll talk about that game, obviously. We'll talk about the losing streak. I'll probably open with a fuck the haters thing. Cause I kind of want to, and you can just vibe off that way, however you want.
Last week was right before Blake injured.
We'll definitely talk about the Blake injury. We can talk about the games first, including this
mm-hmm.
game. We can talk about the Blake injury. We can talk about Austin Rivers and Lou Williams,
yeah.
of course. And maybe just Doc's rotations and what he's been doing without all these players. I think that'll probably you can put a feeler out on Twitter and we can do questions.
Oh yeah, let me do that right now.
Okay, cool. And I think that'll be enough.
Yeah, it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely talk about rotations and Doc and yeah, you know, just the usual stuff. Oh, Gallinari should be back on Wednesday. I don't know if you saw
that. Oh yeah. Yeah, we can talk about that a bit.
Yeah, and that should only be like a minute or two, just
yeah.
But yeah.
We can talk about that near the end.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, maybe just like the usual Clippers upcoming schedule stuff.
Yep, sounds good.
Okay, that's more than enough. So I think we'll be good. It probably won't be too long of a episode. All right. So Wednesday and Monday. Well, there's only one game this week.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
One?
Yeah, the Timberwolves game. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's probably really good for them.
Yeah, I know, for sure. They should. Gallo should probably just take off that game and just come back on Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's in Minnesota, too. I mean, that's probably a loss.
Yeah.
There's Saturday at the Wizards.
Saturday at the Wizards. Oh, no. I was looking at from 12-6 to. There we go. That's right. There's another game. I was looking straight from 12-6 to 12-11. It's like boxed weirdly when I looked at the schedule. But still, those are nice gaps.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice, pretty much, they'll get a lot of rest this week. Okay. So we can get started. I'll open and we can go from there. Okay.
This is the best place for me. This is the place where I want to start and finish my career. A long drought, a lot of unfinished business here.
What's up, everyone? It's the Love the Jam, the podcast. Hope everyone's doing well. We're coming fresh off a Clippers loss. What else is new? Clippers lose 106-112 to the Minnesota Timberwolves in a game that was probably more competitive than you thought it would be. The 14-10 now Timberwolves beat the 8-14 Los Angeles Clippers in what looks like a little bit of a role reversal. It was a very competitive game. The Clippers took the lead, as they are prone to do in many of their losses, take leads in the fourth quarter. Austin Rivers had a season-high 30 points. Lou Williams had his usual 23 points, 10 assists for Lou. DJ was 17-12, and that was more or less it. Montrezl Harrell put in some nice work. Jamal Wilson had some nice threes and hit a nice big one near the end of the game. The rest of the team just sort of existed, but it's not like they were useless. Everybody was playing pretty well. Sorry, for the most part. But those are the big stats grabbers. Of course, for the Minnesota Timberwolves, they were more or less healthy. their starting lineup, of course, is fantastic on paper. And Jimmy Butler was great down the stretch, pretty much closed the game out. Taj Gibson was good, was pretty much their DJ. And Karl Anthony Towns put in his empty stats like he always does, 15-12. This was a game that was pretty good. Rob, how'd you like this game?
Yeah, this one was actually pretty fun. Pretty shockingly, I thought it was going to be a blowout. Clippers won a back-to-back. Wolves are healthy. Wolves are good, but the Clippers really just hung in there based on really hot shooting from Austin, great playmaking by Lou, some explosive dunks from DJ, and just, as you mentioned, supporting performances from guys like Jamal Wilson and Montrezl Harrell, and really most of the Clippers, really all the Clippers had their moments. A couple of them weren't necessarily standouts, but everybody chipped in a little bit. Down the stretch, it was really good. I thought Doc did screw up a little bit by leaving Austin Rivers on him for too long.
Yeah.
Though I'm not sure if Wes Johnson's a better matchup in terms of height and length, but he's also slower, so Butler's beating him off the dribble. I honestly might have tried Jamal Wilson a little bit. He also was in foul trouble, as was Thornwell, so the Clippers' options were pretty limited. But Rivers clearly wasn't working, and then Wes wasn't really either. So I might have tried somebody else. But, I mean, Jimmy Butler's really good, and sometimes guys like that are just hard to stop. It was a good game. It was a fun game. I really enjoyed it. I would have enjoyed it better if the Clippers had pulled out the victory. But sometimes, you know, in this season, with Beverly gone for the year, most likely, and Griffin out for 2 months, and Tatum is still out for a few weeks, and Gallinari, as we'll talk about later, still out, though, should be back very soon. Competitiveness and fun games are really what I'm looking for. Wins would be great, but honestly, a draft pick sounds better right now than the 8th seed, which the Clippers won't get anyway. So losses are, you know what, they're fine. After 6 years of rooting for the Clippers to get to the conference finals and NBA finals, and you know, even a couple seasons, I think they legitimately had championship hopes. It's really weird seeing losses and not getting super upset at them. outside of just bad play. Now it's really just, you know, I don't like seeing them lose, but it's probably more effective for them in this season. And, yeah, I mean, the loss yesterday was horrible, and that's the kind of game that nobody wants to see because the Clippers looked terrible on both ends, and they weren't trying super hard, and it was just so ugly and uncompetitive. And those are the type of losses that would really ruin this season. But games like today, you know, they aren't what we all wanted coming into the season, but I had fun. I think most fans seem to enjoy it. And we saw some flashes from some of the young guys. So overall, it was a good game. The Clippers just aren't going to win without Blake and Beverly and Tatum and Gallinari. It's going to be really tough for them. Hopefully Gallinari is back in the next game or two. But even with him, they're still going to be pretty bad. And nights like tonight are fun, and you're just along for Riley.
Yeah, man. So I agree with you pretty wholeheartedly. And really, from this Clippers bunch, coached by Doc Rivers, you're going to get more games like this game and even, you know, the game that the Clippers had against the – what was that game? Against – not the Timberwolves. The game earlier in the week was against the Utah Jazz. You're going to get more games like that than you're going to get the game against the Dallas Mavericks and that huge blowout because this team – gives everything they got, you know, it takes everything. Oh, great. And this team does a good job. This team and its players and Doc Rivers, what a terrible, terrible job, Clippers media. Just who is in charge of that? Anyways, Take Note is a really good one. Speaking of the Jazz, that's a really good one.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. The Clippers, though, they really do give everything on the court. Like, Doc Rivers does a great job with his ragtag team. He seems to do a great job coaching more when he's shorthanded, and this harkens back to even his Orlando days than when he's fully loaded and it feels like a team kind of just runs itself. And Doc, if nothing else, has always been a sort of motivator. He's always got guys to buy into themselves. And if there's one person that buys into himself, it is Doc's son. Austin Rivers absolutely thinks he's the best player on the court at all times. And you know what? He probably was the best player on the court today, regardless of what Jimmy Butler put in. Jimmy took 20 shots to get his 33, and Austin, 14. So you got to give him some credit. And, you know, Austin, you know, was probably too tired to guard Jimmy effectively down the stretch, and Austin really isn't a great defender, as we've seen when he's particularly highlighted in the offense. But I still think, you know, it's hard to fault Doc for going to Austin because, like you said, we really have two really good ball defenders when they're locked in on this team right now, and it's Thornwell and it's Austin, and there's no one else. Pretty much no one else has proven themselves, so much so that we're talking about a G League dude as the next best option. Wes Johnson, as good as he is, he's always been a good help defender. He's not really a one-on-one stopper. He's never really been that guy. He's been a really great, lanky dude who seems to play a lot of really good help defense and has an eye for where the ball is, can get steals, can get blocks, because he's so long. And that's great, but he's not really a one-on-one defender. And I don't really want him to be a particularly one-on-one defender because Wes gets really frustrated when he makes mistakes defending anybody, and he tends to make them translate into more mistakes. And he is very, very driven on whatever emotion he's riding at the time. So whatever, man, this team, this loss, this is what you want. You want the Clippers to be competitive and to lose games because we're not going to make the playoffs with this team. Even if Gallo comes back on Wednesday, Blake comes back at the end of the month, the team is going to be too far behind to really make a run at that eighth seed. It's okay. Embrace the tank. It's fine. It's totally okay. We're going to be okay. This team is not run by Donald Sterling. The Clippers will be good sooner than later. This is a good team when healthy. The backup backcourt almost took it to the T-Wolves, who are the new, like, it team in the West. So that should tell you something, that this team is pretty good. I mean, Austin and Lou, you know, Lou didn't start, but those two played well. Those two belong, and those are our real starters with DJ, and they all played really well today. Granted, the Timberwolves aren't a defensive juggernaut or anything, but still, it's good to play well against a playoff team. This is the Wolves are definitely going to be a playoff team this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nice to see him show up. So whoever wants to get off the bandwagon, y'all Fairweather fans, to paraphrase my buddy who I hate so much, Austin Rivers. yeah. So
Austin
yeah,
is a complicated character.
Oh my goodness, what an enigma!
In one sense, I can understand people's frustration with him because on nights when he's off, he's so horrible to watch. And even when he's on a lot of the time, tonight was kind of an exception in that he was just draining these pull-up threes. But a lot of the times when he's on, it's still not really pretty basketball. So I can understand why people aren't necessarily super high on him, but I think all the stuff about him being Doc's son and a coach's son, that just needs, like, it should have stopped 2 years ago at the very least, and it should absolutely just be gone at this point. Like, I don't want to hear it. I mean, any player who can score at least 20 points in a game, in an NBA game, on decent efficiency, you know, every two or three times out there, is a legitimately good NBA player. I mean, like you said, when he's featured on offense, his defense falls off a bit. But you know what? If he could be great on defense and also do this on offense, he would be an all-star player. And Austin Rivers is not an all-star level player. He is a good rotation piece. I think that on nights like tonight, he won't always shoot like this, but he's legitimately very hard to guard. And he at least tries on defense most of the time. Mm-hmm. I wish he was a better passer, and not even a better passer, just that he saw the court better, because there are at least three or four plays a game where somebody's open and he doesn't see them or sees them like 2 or 3 seconds too late. But that's probably not going to improve at this point. And the Clippers should honestly be happy with what they have. He's absolutely worth the contract the Clippers gave him last summer. He was definitely worth Reggie Bullock, who is currently bench warming for the Pistons, even though I like Reggie Bullock. But I can understand why people don't like his game, but they should absolutely not disrespect the player and even the personality, because he is really confident, and some people think that's cocky, but on nights like tonight, it really helps. And I like that he has some fire. So yeah, I'm not necessarily always like in on Austin Rivers. There are times when he makes me want to pull my hair out, but I think Clippers fans that don't back him and refuse to give him any credit just need to stop at this point. It's past time, really. If there was ever a game to stop, it was that Portland game a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
He literally playing like black eye, blood dripping on his face, and all swollen. That's insane. And you know, if people don't expect him after that, they probably never will. But it's just unfortunate. He, as I think our editor in chief, the glorious leader, said, you know, one of our Twitter enemies, he kind of deserved that. And Clippers fans, I'm afraid, support him. You know, he's good this year, and I'm happy he's on the team. Brought in by Doc, not brought in by Doc, doesn't matter. He's been good. He's been helping the team, and he was fantastic tonight.
Yeah, Rob, can you just go over the last minute of your Austin thing? Because you were breaking up a lot, so maybe we want to edit that.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
And we can just edit this together, so you can just start right now, because I can hear you now, but you were breaking up a lot.
Okay. I'm somewhere else, so the line might not be as good. That could be why.
Okay.
Austin Rivers he can be frustrating, but he's been great this year for what he is. He's never going to be an all-star level player because he just doesn't have the passing or the overall defense and switchability that can make him a real two-way star. But he's a very good rotation player. He tries super hard. He's cocky, but honestly, it gives the Clippers some fire that they don't usually have. And it's wrong not to support him. He's on the team, and he does the best that he can. And I think he's really deserving of more respect and kudos, really. Just some people refuse to give him any credit, and that's wrong. It's wrong to do that for any player in the NBA, and it's even worse when the player is on your team and
yeah.
is seemingly a pretty good guy. So I really – he might deserve better than us Clippers fans, but we're glad to have him. Those of us who support you, we're – if you're listening to this, Austin, doubtful. we love you. Keep shooting. You're the god, especially on nights like tonight when you really do look like an all-star. And I wish you were like that all the time, but you're good. You're good in my book and in a lot of other fans' books. So ignore the trash talk and all the Fairweather fans and whatnot. We're glad to have you on the team.
Austin, I don't really love you. Like, I think you're a pretty good player. I think you get a lot of hate. But if I saw you at like a bar or something, I don't think I would go up and talk to Austin Rivers. I feel like he would make me want to throw up really quickly just listening to his interviews. He is very cocky. He is fairly oblivious when he has sound bites. My goodness. Shout out to the Clipcast guys who have a ton of interviews with Austin. But when I hear Austin talking, he sounds very young, and it can turn me off a little bit more on his personality. I can understand people being turned off by him jawing at a fan who's, you know, yelling at him for whatever reason. But at the same time, that dude is loyal. He will put himself on the train tracks for his team. And I don't think anybody can truly call him soft, even though he talks sometimes a little too much, and that's a little soft. But on the floor, he's going to put everything on the line out for you. Even if he's not particularly playing the right way, he believes he can win games probably more than any player on this team, even if we're totally healthy. I think he has more belief in his ability down the stretch than even Blake Griffin might have, which is crazy. But I almost can say it's absolutely true. You see Austin, the way he carries himself, that dude is like a first grader playing against like his brother's like middle school basketball team, but he just thinks he's everything. Yeah, Austin is a great character, and I can't say that I love him, but man, I'll rep that guy. And all the people that know basketball but don't know the Clippers that talk a lot of stuff about Austin, I'll defend him. I'll say, like, I totally get why you don't like the dude in so many ways, but that guy can absolutely play a role on your team no matter what. He can be Ricky Davis on a crappy team, or he could be, you know, Ricky Davis when he was a Celtic, or he can be a quality backup player on a playoff team. For some reason, I was remembering Ricky Davis a lot today because I think Andrew Wiggins' haircut reminds me a lot of Ricky Davis. Mm. And then I saw Austin pretty much Ricky Davising it up. I love Ricky Davis was 25-5 on one of my fantasy basketball teams before LeBron James pretty much damned him to the edges. but yeah, Ricky Davis, you know, a lot like Austin Rivers, can put up stats, can sometimes drive you crazy because he doesn't seem to know how to play the right way. But you can't deny his utility if he's utilized well. And one thing about Austin, that guy believes in himself. And I don't know, I'm not sure Ricky Davis ever did. It's a lot of Ricky Davis chat, but sorry, guys. Yeah, so I rep Austin Rivers. He's on my Clippers. And even when he's not on the Clippers, I'll always remember Austin Rivers because he gave us some great moments. He gave us the San Antonio game. He gave us one of my last happy memories of my life in the 3-1 Houston game when the Father's Day game, the 25 points against the Rockets game. I'll remember that dude. And it took me a long time to warm up to Austin. I did not like him his first season with the Clippers. I did not like him at all. I didn't mind the idea of him walking. It took a long time because he was not very good when he was first a Clipper. And now he put the work in. And if you think he sucks, you're not watching, man. Like, seriously, I really don't think you're watching. If you think he's too confident and he takes crappy shots, you're completely correct. But he's worked super hard to make those crappy shots. And the stats don't lie. Look at his percentages, man. Like, the stats don't lie. He's not a great passer or an all-around player, but the dude can score and he can defend. And if he has to pick one, but I think he's willing to sacrifice. So kudos to you, Austin. We're watching you We believe in you. And, you know, we're proud. You know, you've come a long way. So you're not listening, but I'm going to pretend you are.
Yeah. There's some other interesting things about this game, I think. One, we've seen it other times this year, mostly when the Clippers were a little more healthy. But Lou Williams dishing out 10 assists. He's the only player right now who can connect with DeAndre Jordan. Not quite as beautifully as Teodosic was in preseason, but he gets him at least a lob or two a game. And found him on some really nice passes under the back half switches when he was wide open. Got Harrell one too. And his head is always up when he's attacking. Again, a little bit unlike Austin Rivers, who tends to put on blinders. But Lou was really good tonight. Not quite as explosive as Austin, but better passer. He did have some horrible defensive plays though. Sometimes I really don't notice it too much, but tonight he got absolutely cooked a few times.
Yeah.
And that is bad. But they need his offense. CJ Williams was a token starter. He only played the very beginning of each half before ceding the rest of the minutes to Lou. Jamil Wilson, on the other hand, was not. Bob started him, started two-way players, which is the first time that has happened in the NBA all year. And Jamil Wilson played 30 minutes, which honestly he deserved them. He was the Clippers' best power forward, and he took 8 threes. He made 3 of them. That's not bad. That's 37.5%. And his defense could use some work. He's a bit jumpy, and he fouls a lot, but he has some length, and he's much quicker and more athletic. There's a really interesting player. If Jamil Wilson, he's still only like 25-ish, I think. If he can work on his defense a little bit and maybe get a little handle, just a little bit of handle and more confidence on offense, I think he could be a real player because his three-point shot in incredibly limited minutes looks good. He has a pretty quick release. Athletic. Seems to have decent basketball IQ. He's got some nice picks. 6'5", really would have been a small forward. Just a few years forward, small ball. But he played well tonight. Becker had kind of his better games, I think. Two really nice blocks on defense. But the main can shoot right now. And he was good last year. And he wasn't a great shooter last year, but 32%. And right now, I think he's shooting 5 for 30-something on the year from three. And the Clippers out there, players need as much shooting as possible. And I don't play the Clippers, but shots. He was wide and had time and just playing them. And it's a backbreaker. But he did have some nice moments on defense, and I like how he runs the transition. But I think Wilson, if Gallinari does not come back, I'll say he doesn't earn a start. Even when Gallinari does come back, because he doesn't hesitate. Clippers ran so many pick and pops with him, and it really got him and Austin or Lou open a lot. Teams already seem to kind of respect his shooting more than they do other Clippers, small ball forwards. So I don't know what they're going to do with him and Williams, because the two-way contracts are technically only allowed 45 days up in the NBA. And even when Gallinari should send him down, they could convert it to a regular contract, but I think that might come over the luxury tax. So we'll see how that all works out. But he looked good. I thought Juwan Evans had some pretty good minutes tonight. He's been a little shaky lately, but he had a really nice drive. He seemed a little bit in control tonight. And, he got torched a little bit less on defense than he has been recently. And Madison Darius Thornwell has fallen out of favor a little bit due to also not being able to do much on offense. He was a better fit starting lineup when Blake was out because Blake could take on an offensive role. But the Clippers need offense right now. And even though he was so good offensively in high school, his last year of college, his on-the-floor game is not there right now. I did like that he actually, in transition, he really stepped out into a transition three. Took it almost Steph Curry style of it. He didn't make it, but he just popped it right off the catch, and it was pretty deep, and it wasn't that far off. I really liked that and got it up quick. So, yeah, I think all the Clippers young guys really, like you said, Harrell had some nice plays. They all played well tonight, and that's all you can ask for in this type of season. And DJ defensively and on the glass was a little tricky. I mean, he had 12 boards, but the Timberwolves just had so many offensive rebounds. It seemed like he could have done a little bit better job. But he was great offensively. He had some really nice finishes around the basket, 8 for 8, 17 points. And yeah, the past two games, he was probably one of the only bright spots in the game the night before against the Mavericks.
Yeah.
And it's good news if the Clippers are building up his trade value. The team, what he could do was a lot. And the Clippers are thinking about keeping him, and also good for, you know, that beginning of the season where he was a little bit iffy. That could have just been mental or physical or whatever. And he's moved past it. So either way, it's really good to see that he's been playing better. And yeah, I mean, I'm just pretty overall pleased tonight. Yeah, I don't really have many negative things to say, honestly. I just want to forget that Mavericks game as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
Did you watch any of the Mavericks game?
Oh, I didn't watch that game. Yeah.
I had to recap it, and it was,
oh, no.
It was not fun.
Oh, man.
That's the kind of night that, again, like, the Clippers were very bad defensively in that game. But on offense, it was just, you know, on nights when Austin Rivers and Lou Williams are not shooting well, the Clippers are not going to win games. It's really that simple. And they were taking some bad shots, but that's what they do. Their open shots were not going down. And when that happens, it's just not going to happen. And that was the start of Jamil Wilson time. I don't know if you caught any of the recaps or anything. He actually started the second half, and he hit a couple threes. And that's when I think Doc got the idea to just start him tonight. So I was not surprised by that. And yeah, it was grisly. It was really bad. And the Jazz game, I didn't watch all of that, but that was also not super pretty. So yeah, I mean, anything else you really want to talk about? We should probably talk about Blake and just his outlook and injury issues and stuff, because it was it happened on Monday, and obviously missed our pod. But
yeah.
I don't know if I have much to say about Blake. I think you're a bigger Blake fan than I am, so it might be a little more personal for you.
Yeah, I mean, real quick on Jamil Wilson, that guy he's a shooter. Summer League didn't lie; he's a shooter. He can make shots. It was nice to see him take shots with confidence, even down the stretch. He wasn't afraid of the moment. He was into the game. He's a nice player. I think he's a nice – I don't know exactly how they're going to work Jamil into the rotation if the team gets healthier. You can certainly see them doing it while Blake is hurt. It's just a matter of semantics and contracts, and I haven't looked into it enough because really I didn't know how much of a rotation guy he could even be. But he definitely earned a bit of his keep today, and it was nice to watch him play well. As far as Blake goes, yeah, it was a really cringeworthy injury. I remember seeing the replay and just seeing the way that he bent and seeing, you know, thinking that, oh, well, that wasn't like a snap. That was just kind of a really awkward bend. But of course, if you freeze that shot, it looked awful. And, you know, I think it was fairly clear that he could get some ligament damage coming off of that injury if you looked at it enough times. It was just a matter of how severe the strain was. And, you know, an MCL injury, not as bad as an ACL injury. So there's always that. You're normally, when you injure something like your ACL or even your PCL, you're more likely to completely tear it versus your MCL or even your LCL, because they're sort of around the edges of your – this is like medical talk. But medical talk I probably just know a little bit about. But yeah, you never want to injure your ACL or your essentially either of those ligaments that are inside where the joint is, because you're more likely to tear them. So if you would sprain any ligament, your MCL is actually one that you might prefer to sprain. So Blake kind of missed what could have been a really bad injury. So I'm all right with it. And a month to 2 months, it's pretty much what to expect. And just knowing Doc Rivers, I would assume he's going to err on the side of caution because he never hasn't been that way. So I'm just going to assume that Blake will be out, you know, maybe until well into January. So, and by then I think the season will be lost, and that's okay. I think it's fine. I think without Pat Beverly, the season might have ended up being in the lottery anyways, and it might have just been on the fringes and just on the edges, and the team might have just struggled to keep it at 500. So I think kind of getting to the point where you can kind of get a nice draft pick, I'm fine with it. I was already fine with it last week before Blake got injured, and we had a whole pod about it. So I think I'm okay with it. I'd be very surprised if DeAndre Jordan was a Clipper at the end of the season. I don't think he's going to be a Clipper, which is unfortunate. I'm going to miss DJ, but I don't feel like he's going to be on this team for, I think he'll be here for a month or so, but I don't think he'll be on here for much longer. It doesn't make, you know, unless they really want to, you know, invest all the money, and they could. He might not be worth the full max like you've mentioned last week, but I think it might be best to kind of see what we can get for him at this point. And even if it's not a draft pick, if it's a couple of young dudes who have potential, I'm also okay with that. Like that Bucks trade, I think I heard was like, what was it, Middleton as the big trade piece and maybe Brogdon?
Yeah, the Clippers want, they claim to want all three of Henson, Brogdon, and Middleton.
That won't happen.
If they could get Middleton and literally nothing else, I would be fine with it because Middleton is a lot younger and he's really, really good.
He is.
Maybe not quite an all-star, but right on the edge. He's better than Gallinari and younger. So I really like to get Middleton. Brogdon, Henson, and maybe something else is a little iffier for me, but I mean, it really depends on what other offers are out there. For what it's worth, I don't know if you listen to Zach Lowe's pod, but he's pretty plugged in everywhere. He's also super close to Ramona Shelburne and Kevin Arnovitz, who might be the two most plugged in Clippers people, for big name writers. And he said he would be very, very, very surprised if he was a Clipper at the end of the season. So I'm guessing a trade is coming. When it happens, there's going to be a written about him, and hopefully most of them are good ones. He deserves them. Again, we talked about this last week, but the last two games, really, I think he hasn't necessarily been the Clippers' best player, but he's probably been their most consistent, and he's good. And when he got the ball, if he was traded, so depending on who they get back, I would also be happy for the prospect of the team. But yeah, it's just tricky because the Clippers haven't had to deal with that kind of losing core pieces via trade for a while. There was always the fear of them leaving in free agency. I mean, Chris Paul was technically a trade, but that was a free agent. But it's been a while, and I don't know if I'm ready to handle DJ being sent elsewhere. I hope it's at least to a playoff team somewhere. Milwaukee or Washington would be nice. Even the Cavs, really, it would be really fun for him to play next to LeBron and just feast on lobs and fast break opportunities. So I agree. Sadly, I don't think he's going to be a Clipper. I'll say that they're going to build up his trade value. I think he's probably going to get traded closer to the deadline. So I'd say we still have a couple months. But, I mean, I'd say really enjoy those lobs and some of those blocks because I don't know how much longer we're going to get them with DJ in the Clippers uniform.
Yeah, it's funny. When we lost Chris Paul, it was kind of revamping the idea of the lob, the jam, and that entire idea. But if you lose DJ, that's going to be the death of Lob City. That really will be it right there because nobody does it like DJ. And it's unfortunate. He's just a good dude, a good player. And I really hope, you know, selfishly, I want him to go to the Cavs. I just want him. I would love to see him get to the finals. And and you know, he might get iced by a team like Golden State. Just the fact that they have so many shooters, but whatever, man. I would love to see him make a deep run and to really be appreciated and to have some of those DJ games in the conference finals. And, you know, maybe we'll have Chris Paul on one side and DJ on the other side as far as conference finalists. That would be kind of nice to see. It would also bring about just a billion Clipper Curse articles, but whatever, man. I want those dudes to do well. So, and I hope they do. So let's hope that DJ gets on a good team. Yeah, we've talked a lot about most of the things I kind of wanted to talk about. We can talk a little bit about Gallo coming back. He's expected back on Wednesday. Yeah. Austin Rivers essentially kind of broke it in an interview earlier this week, and it's been sort of confirmed. What do you expect from Gallo? Is he pretty much going to be the focal point of this offense? Is that what you want him to be? What do you expect, Rob?
I don't know. He was not good to start the season, and he has a much longer track record of being very good, so I can't let it bias me, but he just did not look very good this season. He was clearly better than other options, and their offense kind of fell apart without him because he can pass and make plays on his own and shoot, and teams respect his shooting, so there's better spacing. But I just hope he looks more like the Gallo of a couple years ago than the Gallo of the first couple weeks, because that player would be hard to trade and wouldn't necessarily help the Clippers. And he would help the Clippers, but he wouldn't exactly revolutionize them. I think they are going to try to run their offense through him. As good as Austin Lou has been, streaky, and Gallinari is just a more consistent presence. He's much bigger. He can get his shot off more consistently. And obviously he's less of a minus on the defensive end than Lou is. I think from what they've said, they basically confirmed he's going to start at small forward. Wes is going to move to power forward. I mean, they're basically going to be just dual combo forwards.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to start with Austin and DJ. And really, tonight, CJ Williams started instead of Lou. Lou basically ended up just playing the rest of the game anyway. So CJ Williams might continue as like a token starter. Maybe Thornwell, they could alternate or something. It's basically giving me Lou with the bulk of the minutes, though, until Milos comes back, which is supposed to be in a couple of weeks. So when that happens, it's going to be interesting because I guess he would start alongside Austin. That would be an interesting backcourt. But I'd expect – yeah, I'm hopeful Gallinari comes back, looks healthier than he did to start the year. They are probably going to take it kind of slow with him to start. I mean, I'm assuming he's going to get the starting position right off the jump, but I'm going to feed him 20 shots a game in his first two games back.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be like against Jimmy Butler tonight. He's a little slow for Butler, but having somebody with that size and length on him would have been nice.
Yeah.
And it'll be good to have him back. It really will. I'm excited. I'm excited. He's not the most fun player to watch, but he's good when he's healthy. And the Clippers really use his pass, because even though he likes to shoot, he also is not the guy who takes a ton of bad shots. He's willing to swing the ball around and work to get better looks. And the Clippers could really use that right now. Really use that. And if all goes well in a couple weeks, hopefully we'll be back to Denver Gallinari and averaging around 20 points per game. Efficiency and getting a few assists, and the offense should look a lot smoother. That's what I'm hoping anyway. We'll see. And the Wolves on a few days rest are going to be a tough opponent. After that, the Clippers don't play again until Saturday against the Wizards. Fortunately, without John Wall, but still, that'll be a tough matchup for him going against Otto Porter. And, It's going to be a rough couple games for the Clippers. Hopefully Gallinari comes back and is somewhat healthy, because otherwise I see two losses coming up this week.
Yeah, I see two losses this week, probably either way. Even against a Wizard, John Wallace Wizards team, this Clipper team just doesn't have that much talent on it right now. Just even with Gallinari back, it's just going to be a handful of rotation guys, and you can only play them so much, you know. So we'll see. I'm not really expecting this team to really light the world on fire. Maybe when Milos comes back, you can see some more wins. Definitely when Blake comes back, I can see them playing pretty well and maybe even being a 500 team, but from that point onwards. But it's going to be tough. So I think I'm okay with it being tough, though. It's all right. It's this team could have gone many, many, many ways. And unfortunately, we're here. So I'll be here to watch the games and support them. I probably won't be as excited to watch the games as I would have been had they stayed healthy, but that's fine. I'll probably still watch the games and maybe a few blowouts to the Mavericks or games that I'll skip. And I won't feel too guilty about that. Yeah.
What do you think about Jamal making his Staples Center return on Wednesday? He had some typical Jamal. He also had a huge bank three that kind of got the Wolves back on track. Do you think you're thinking standing ovation at Staples Center, just a regular clap? I'm guessing they're going to do a video for him, but
yeah,
I'm not entirely sure.
Oh, they better give him a standing ovation. I'll be pretty disappointed if Jamal comes back. And
I agree.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Jamal was a consummate professional. He's the player he is. So that's just who he is. The fact that he kind of made you crazy, and now that we see a player like Lou Williams, who's absolutely a better version of Jamal Crawford, you kind of realize how limited Crawford was, almost even more so. But the dude was so entertaining. He had really good his first season with the Clippers. His first couple of seasons with the Clippers were fantastic. It was still prime Jamal, or like prime tail end Jamal. And I love the dude. He says nothing but good things about the Clippers. He was recently quoted about how that things just happen. There's no curse. They're just bad timing. And he's one of the few players who I don't think will ever say a bad thing about the Clippers, called us family. And Jamal is still Clipper family. That guy was great. Won 2 6 Man of the Year awards. Always a great quote. Always had good things to say. Seemed like a great locker room guy. Everybody loved him. Is an absolute pure baller in every sense of the word. That guy loves basketball, and I'll always have a good soft spot for him. I'm glad he's doing well, and I hope he keeps playing until, you know, he just for another 10 years. Like, I'll keep watching Jamal highlights, 'cause those highlight reels are unlike anything you'll ever see. And there's Jamal still has some of the best Clipper highlights of the Chris Paul era. So
He had a vintage move tonight. He had his vintage behind the back. I forget who was guarding him. It might have been Thorne, but it was one of the newer Clippers. But there was a screen, and he went against the screen as he likes to do, and he did his little behind the back move. The Clipper guy was just completely whiffed, and I don't think he made that, which is also pretty classic Jamal.
Very Jamal.
But that brought back good memories, and I second everything you say. I will be.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna be there, obviously, but I'd be pretty disappointed if he didn't get a standing ovation. I think he will. The ESPN game, actually, Clippers first national TV game in a while, and I'm guessing there'll be a lot of people there. I'm guessing they throw. There are a lot of highlights to choose from.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'll be very intrigued to see you throw in there. It's probably going to be awesome, honestly.
Yeah.
I kind of wish I was there to watch it. I'm excited to watch it. I'll do it for him.
Sure.
Did you read about Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan, how they talk every day?
Yeah, I read that, and that's nice.
There's been a lot of talk in talk recently. It's funny. I'm sure there's going to be more of that when Chris Paul makes his return, and that's going to be a much more interesting game, media quote-wise. I'm sure Jamal will just be all, yeah, it's great to be back here, and, like, these fans, and he and Blake and DJ are all are all friends and stuff, I'm much more intrigued for the sound from him and Doc Rivers. So I'm not that close with DJ, but it kind of makes sense too. They really got a great connection over the years. And I'm excited for that return as well. The Rockets look absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
As we all would, and our boy Luka Mbambute is shining on a really good team. So got nothing but good things for that. And it's going to be a rough season for the Clippers, but hopefully at least some of their ex players do. I think that's we do have some Twitter questions actually.
Yeah.
We want those. So the first one is from Jorge, which is, will we be able to trade Lucas and Eric Olsgaard for some serviceable pieces that will lead us to a championship? I'm not sure about that. I don't know what the price of bloggers are worth, but probably pretty low. Sorry if you're listening, Lucas or Eric. Do you think we should trade them away for an upgrade?
I would trade Lucas in a heartbeat, so.
Fair weather. The Clippers have been very fortunate to have some really good coverage over the years. Obviously, we're biased because we're associated with Clips Nation, but just being able to interact with a lot of Clippers people over the years, there are some crazy fans, but every team has crazy fans. And a lot of the Clippers and Clips Nation people have just been, you know, good friends, and especially in the things kind of falling apart. It's been a lot of humor, even. The next question, serious question, is from Dion Dreidel Kislevy, which is a friend of Clips Nation, Francis Adu Jr. He asked Evan and Harrell. So I'll let you answer this one first.
Okay. Wait, Evans and Thornwell? I missed the end of that. You cut out a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Evans and Thornwell or Decker and Harrell? Just as pairs, I'm guessing.
Evans and Thornwell or Decker and Harrell? I mean, pretty easily the former for me. I mean, I'm a Thornwell guy, so, and I like Evans and Thornwell. They're young. I think Harrell is what he is. You're not gonna get, you know, he doesn't really have much upside. And as much as I like Decker, man, that guy has, I think he could be good. He should be good. He looks like he should be a good player, but he just never knows what he's doing ever. Like, every time I watch him, it's just like he doesn't know where he's going, and he just kind of athletically finds his way to the rim sometimes because he's an athlete. He's not shooting well. He's not defending well. His feet are never in the right place. I think Decker will eventually be a rotation player, a nice kind of player, and I've heard nothing but good things about him from Rockets fans. But if I had to pick between the pair, it's not even right now. It's not even a question to me. To be honest, I love Evans too. I think he's a really nice player. I think he'll be a good. I think he'll be a rotation player, regardless if he makes it on the Clippers eventually.
I mean, I think you kind of have to break this into a few different categories. In terms of watchability, easily Evans and Thornwell. I think Evans is super exciting. He's in terms of just exciting players, he might be one of the most fun to watch. He's so fast, and he actually has very good point guard vision. He had a really nice lob to Harrell today on fast break. Thornwell's defense and energy is really good, even though his offensive game needs work. Decker, I think, is improving in terms of awareness and stuff. He just can't hit shots right now, and on one hand, that should come back to him a little bit, but he wasn't a great shooter last year, so maybe he's just not a very good shooter and he'll keep missing threes. Not at this rate, but still not a very good one. So in terms of watchability, Evans and Thornwell, even though I do like Harrell quite a bit, he's fun to watch, he's really explosive. In terms of just helping a team win now, probably Decker and Harrell, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I can see that.
And Harrell, he has not much upside, but I mean, he's a 15-minute-a-game rotation player on a good team. I don't
That's
think
true.
Any of the other three really are. And then if you're talking about upside again, like Decker, it's really going to come down to shooting for him. Like, can he be a serviceable NBA shooter? If so, absolutely solid NBA player. If not, he might be out of the league in a year. Harrell, and that's going to be a rotation big for, you know, anywhere from like a half dozen to 10 years probably.
Yeah.
And that's probably
yeah.
his career. Thornwell, also a lot is going to depend on that shot. He's really good. He's a little bit bigger. I think his defense would be all NBA-ish upside in terms of just how quick he is and how locked in he can stay on his man. He fouls way too much now. He fouled out of tonight's game, actually, in just like a few minutes.
Yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
the upside's clearly there on defense. And Evans, I think, could be a quite good backup point guard. Again, it's really for three of them, it's can they shoot? Because he's clanked almost all of his threes this year. He's had some nice pull-up jumpers, but if he, Thornwell, and Decker want to really stick around, they're all going to need to get that three-point shot down. They really all need to get there. But I'm going to go with you. Evans and Thornwell, I think in the future they're going to be better. I think they're more fun. So I'm going to go with them.
Yeah, I think it's a good point that Harrell, of all of them, is easily the most NBA ready to play in a playoff game tomorrow. So that's a good
100%.
Point to make. Yeah.
I mean, he's really close to the rim. Not great defensively because he's small, but he can finish and he can run. And I mean, he reminds me of Craig Smith, the Rhino. A little less offensively polished, but just a solid backup big man. Next question from Matthew Morale at the underscore Skyro. Which of the two-way players looks like a potential legit rotation player? I think both of them kind of look like they could be. CJ Williams has been, I don't know how else to describe him, but competent. He's had some very nice little takes off the dribble where he attacks closeouts and can't really blow by people, but he just gets enough of a step in to get a pull-up. He's also hit like a turnaround or two, and his offensive game is actually quite polished. If he was a little more explosive, he could be really good. He's 27, so I don't think that's going to happen. But if he just works on his defense a little bit, to be a little more fluid, I think he could be a rotation player. And Jamal Wilson, as I was saying earlier, quite a bit more versatile. Three-point shot looks absolutely there. It's quick. He takes it without any hesitation. We saw in summer league that he's very bouncy. He had some pretty crazy back dunks. Hasn't really shown that yet, but he played decent defense on Karl Anthony Towns day, despite weighing like 8 pounds less, four or 5 inches. He fouled a little too much, but he also had some nice plays where he just kind of hung in there in the post and just caused problems with his length. So I think he could be a very interesting player. He gets his defense down a little bit and is able to get just a little bit better offensively. I see a little bit of potential Draymond player in there. That's
dang
for it. He looked really quick, just in terms of moves. He's very fast. And I don't know if he's going to get there. It's pretty unlikely. I mean, he's a two-way player. They're both in their mid-20s already. But he showed some ability to pass in summer league. He does some really just interesting stuff. Like he said, I'm not sure if it was in this game. I think it was in the Mavericks game, actually, where Austin was driving to the basket, and he saw Lou's man was a little bit off him, and he set a back pick on Lou's man. And if Austin had seen it, Lou would have been wide open for three on the wing. Because the guy would have turned and Wilson was just standing right there. And it was just a really smart offensive play.
Yeah.
So I see a lot of stuff there. I mean, he's played, 38 minutes over basically two games in the NBA. Played a little bit more, but I see more upside with Wilson. Williams has a more set, 3-and-D role. I think both could be coaches, though. What do you think?
I don't really have a vibe on Williams just yet. I think I have to give it more. I can't really say anything about Williams. I also, I spent more time paying attention to Wilson through Summer League. Even the games I didn't see and the extensive highlights I saw, I was paying a lot of attention to him. And like you said, I just feel like he has a good nose for the basketball. He just seems like a really heady player already, and I like that about him. I have more faith right now in him possibly becoming a rotation player, but I just haven't seen Williams play enough. I haven't paid enough attention to him. I think if he continues this kind of niche starter role for a few, then I'll get a chance to kind of evaluate him some more. I do think Jamal Wilson can be a nice player. I think offensively, he knows a lot of what he wants to be. He wants to sort of, like you said, he's a bouncy player. He'll find his spots on the perimeter, can confidently make shots, would be a nice like touch passer type player who pretty much knows what his strengths are and knows like and sees the court pretty well. So I like Wilson a lot. I think he has potential defensively too. I like Wilson. I hope he gets more opportunities, especially while Blake Griffin is hurt, to maybe earn his keep in the rotation. Williams, as nice as he is, I think as soon as we get Teodosic back, and I guess it's not going to be for a bit, but I don't really see him being in the rotation, but because we'll have Thornwell and then the other, and we'll have Rivers and Lou, and he, and also we'll have, you know, Rivers, Lou, Thornwell, and what, who am I forgetting? Teodosic. So, yeah, and Juwan Evans, and we're going to be too loaded for him to really get minutes. Meanwhile, I do think Jamal Wilson can really carve a role. He could beat out Wes Johnson, you know, if he plays well enough for a spot in the rotation. So Wes Johnson went 1-for-10 today. And as nice of a player as he is, if he can't make his shots, Wilson will look very interesting if he can prove to be a defender of any real consistency. So I think Jamal Wilson has a chance to be a rotation player, even if this team is as healthy as it can be without Beverly, because those forwards aren't really as deep as we would want them to be. So, yeah.
Yeah. Actually, there are two questions left. The one that just came in, I'm just going to take first because it ties right into that. It was just, love what I see from Jamal Wilson. What do you think of him starting next to Gallo to back, or at the very least getting a majority of the backup minutes forward? I do think West kind of has a lock on the spot, and Wilson actually tears it up from three and West keeps missing. I think West has helped defense and just general know-how and familiarity with everybody will have him. I think he's a lock to start unless Wilson really stands out or screws up. But I think that when Gallinari comes back, I think he's ahead of Decker for backup power forward minutes, absolutely, right now. I don't know why he wouldn't be. He just, it's been two games, but those two games he's looked better than Decker has all season. So I wouldn't be surprised about that. You basically already answered that as well. So last question is your thoughts on a bad season and its effects on the fan base. The team has worked hard to build the last 6 years. Attendance is always starting to plummet, even with dirt cheap tickets. LA turns on teams quick when they don't win. This is a really interesting question. I'll let you take this one first, actually. But this is like an article. This is like a long article's question. It's loaded, but we can get quick thoughts on it right now.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think the biggest negative value of tanking, not that the team is tanking, but of just having a losing season, is just losing a lot of the merit that the team is having at, you know, a kind of a pivotal time. The Lakers have Lonzo Ball, as kind of mediocre as he's looked. Ingram is playing well. They recently had an overtime loss to the Warriors. Meanwhile, the Clippers haven't been competitive with the Warriors in what feels like, you know, my entire life. So, like, little things like that make a difference. You know, there's – I hate to say it, but there is always a Battle of Los Angeles going on. And if the Lakers pick up momentum, even if it's, like, small – it's going to be real, and the Clippers will feel a little bit of that second-rate citizen type vibe in their own building. So it's absolutely a thing. The Clippers, for as much trash as they get talked about over these last few years, they've still been a perennial playoff team. Granted, they've had their share of failure, but it's because they had expectations every year. And expectations really go a long way into building your fan base. As much as I hate to admit it, you know, I'm a Clipper lifer. I'm pretty sure you are too, Rob. Like, we mm-hmm. are the exceptions in Los Angeles. This is still, it still yeah. is a Laker town. So I do think that there's a very real feeling about losing momentum from all these seasons. But the good thing is we have a very forward-thinking owner, and that's all the more confidence building. The fact that we have an owner who's forward-thinking, wants to do things that are on the cutting edge, wants to move into a new arena, wants us to really put our stamp in Los Angeles, and, you know, most importantly, wants to spend the money to win. So I have confidence in the front office right now and in our ownership, and the fact that I think if things aren't working, if the team really, really sucks over the next few months, I think Ballmer will fire Doc, because I think Ballmer wants to win. So that's reassuring. We can already see the moves in the front office. The team is trying to put the pieces together to make a really quality product. So I agree, like, for very precocious fans, or I don't know if precocious is the right word, for very fickle fans out there in Los Angeles, it is an important time for a lot of the young kids who are trying to find a team. And, you know, like LeVar Ball and how loudmouthed he is and think he's funny or whatever, versus looking over here and seeing an injured Blake Griffin being injured again. Yet, you know, that dude has so much charisma. I think Blake is enough if he's healthy and playing the way he can play. And he's just a funny guy. He's on TV shows. He does comedy. He's on commercials. He's enough of a franchise player to really attract fans. Him being out right now is losing fans and is losing potential fans, even if the team was 500. I think Blake is a big deal to, like, cultivating this brand and maintaining this brand. And with him out, it absolutely hurts the Clippers brand, for sure. And just the general vibe of it's the same old Clippers, it is very affecting, and it can get people down. It kind of bounces off me and probably bounces off you, Rob. Like, I see the long game, and I'm okay with a season where the Clippers aren't, you know, as great as they can be, because I've been here before. Like, I was watching Blake Griffin in Oklahoma play college basketball games, and watching, you know, the idea of him being a Clipper that entire season, and watching college basketball only for it. And I could see myself falling into that again, even though the play in college basketball is awful compared to the NBA.
Yeah, it really is.
It's really a terrible, terrible, terrible product. And yeah, the Final Four is fun because these kids are really running around and really diving for balls, but it's a terrible product. I can't stand watching college basketball most of the time because it's not very good. Mm-hmm. But I watched college basketball games with the idea of maybe we can get Harrison Barnes, maybe we can get Blake Griffin, maybe we can get whoever, you know. It's definitely something I did. And as sad as it is, like, I can see myself doing that, but I don't think that it's an infinite thing. And I think the Clippers need to establish a winning culture again. Even if they kind of tank this year, they have to start winning again. Otherwise, they're going to lose a lot of momentum, especially next year. Because I think the Lakers will be a little bit better next year if their guys keep growing. Ingram is playing well. And if that keeps happening, then they'll have their opportunity to be the better Los Angeles team again. And that's going to really hurt the vibe around the city about the Clippers, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that it's tough. They already lost a lot when Chris Paul left, and probably to a much lesser extent, Jamal and JJ. And Chris Paul helped a lot with him. You can see on Twitter, there are people who still general Clippers, but they to the Rockets. And, you know, if they're fans of the player first, that's fine. You know, it's fine. Chris Paul is awesome. There's nothing wrong with being a Chris Paul fan. But the Clippers lost a lot of fans. I think in the last Clippers home game against the Lakers, where it was technically the Clippers game, somebody on Twitter was saying, I think it was Arash Markazi, I think he was saying that it used to be like around 50-50 in the Chris Paul era, Clippers-Lakers fans, and now it's moving back towards like 70%-ish Lakers fans. And that's just, it's going to happen unless the Clippers get good again or unless the Lakers, this Lakers core really flops. And it's possible, both are possible, but that's another thing that the Clippers will have to factor, as I said last week, when trading DeAndre Jordan. He's popular, he's a big name, he's fun to watch, and trading him away for, say, Malcolm Brogdon and John Henson, and maybe like a pick, another prospect, that might be a really good return, but it's not going to keep fans.
Yeah.
And I agree with you that they're going to be bigger than they were in the past just due to Blake, and really just due to, I think they've built up some cachet that they're not a complete joke anymore. Ballmer helps with that. You also mentioned their front office. They added some really top-notch NBA front office guys this summer. And I'm really interested to see what they do the rest of the season. I think a DeAndre trade is coming. I think, sadly, a Lou Williams trade is probably going to come.
Yeah.
Other guys, Wes Johnson, a contending team, might give up something small for him.
Yeesh.
Even guys like Montrezl Harrell or Willie Reed, just backup big men, some team might offer like a second pick or something. But yeah, I think that the Clippers really this year will be tough on the fan base, but hopefully it's good for them in the long run. And I think that that should be what the front office focuses on, is the long run future of this team. You can sacrifice some fans and a little bit of gate revenue and TV revenue for a year, as long as you can product back up. And look at what Philadelphia is doing this year after years of horrible basketball where viewership was down and attendance was down. They're the talk of Philadelphia, and Embiid and Simmons are going to be two of the most popular players in the league for as long as they're healthy and in their prime. So, yeah, I just want the Clippers to make good basketball decisions and remain fun, and we'll take the rest as it comes.
Mm-hmm. Let's just hope the Clippers have built enough cachet to just sustain one bad year with the majority of their fan base, you know, with the assumption that they'll bounce back a bit next year. I definitely think much bigger than even this year is next year, because if they have another losing season next year, that's going to be a lot of bad momentum. And really, if you have two bad seasons in a row, all bets are out the window. It's going to be really hard to just be like, well, you know, next season, two bad seasons in a row is really what stops the momentum for a franchise. So let's hope that's not the case, and you know, trust the process. So let's hope we get a nice pick and we can get some more assets and really translate that into really utilizing what's honestly one of Blake Griffin's last prime years left. We need to really utilize this window while Blake can be healthy. So it's going to be important not to just, you know, waste it away next year. And hopefully, and I do think that, you know, Bomber and even Doc, and I'm guessing most of the front office, have a good idea that Blake isn't going to be healthy forever. And if we do want to utilize this window, we have to get ready for next year, especially. So yeah. Any more questions?
That was it.
That was a really good question.
Was.
Yeah, they all were, but that one especially. Yeah. Anything else to say, Rob?
I think we've said there's only two games this week, as we said. Home against the someone's in, and home again against the John Wall-less, most likely Wizards on Saturday. And those should both be pretty fun games. Hopefully the Clippers are competitive.
Mm-hmm.
I'd expect a lot more of Karl Anthony Towns and Jimmy Butler on Wednesday. And then I don't know who the Clippers are going to put on Bradley Beal on Saturday. I think he scored 40 on them last year. I wouldn't be surprised if something similar happened again. And
hopefully
Gallinari is back and looks good.
Yep. Even Lukumba Mute couldn't do anything about Bradley Beal last year in Washington. He just torched him. That was one of the few players who I saw Luke trying to guard, and Luke just couldn't stay in front of him. Beal was just running through picks and finding ways to the lane. I love Bradley Beal. He's one of my favorite non-Clippers. I love watching him play. He reminds me a little bit of Milwaukee Ray Allen a little bit. I think he's a really, really, really nice player. And I love the Wall-Beal tandem, even if they don't seem to really love each other. I love those players. And I like the Wizards a lot, even though I think the Sixers have maybe usurped them as my favorite Eastern Conference team. Because, man, just Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. How can you?
Mm-hmm.
Joel Embiid, by the way, shout out to J.J. Redick, who I used to do articles on every time he had a new podcast. It used to be my thing. J.J. has a new pod out with Joel Embiid that's really fantastic. I listened to it the other day while I was cooking, and it's really, really, really a great listen. You find out a lot about Joel Embiid and how he grew up and watching basketball, and his story is really great. Like, that dude is as much of a kid and as you would imagine, and he's someone that is going to be fun to root for a very, very long time. I hope he stays healthy, because I think he can really be one of the greats if he does. So anyways, so I think that's it for us.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else, Rob?
I think I'm good. Just cheer for Jamal on Wednesday and hope for Gallinari to come back healthy.
Yep. Hopefully Gal can come back with a bang and do pretty well this week. If not, let's hope he kind of rounds himself into shape, which is kind of what I expect more than anything mm-hmm. else. And Jamal, I'll be cheering for him. I think he's going to be – he's a nice player. I'm always going to root for Jamal. And that'll do it for this episode of the Lob the Jam, the podcast. Give us a review on iTunes if you have a minute. If you want to appreciate how much I'm talking about former Clipper great Ricky Davis – more than any podcast on the internet. You won't hear this much Ricky Davis talk anywhere else. So if you want to show us how much you appreciate that, feel free to leave us a good review. Thanks for listening, everybody. And as always, go Clippers!
Austin thought about the free ball. Long, but jam! Wasn't a perfect pass, but a perfect reception. Sixth board.